Well, those of you who have already found me on Facebook, the great time waster of our day, will already know that there's a new Faulkner in town. Laura and I adopted a dog named Duke 2 weeks ago now. He's a dachshund mix. He looks just like a dachshund, so he's 25 pounds, which keeps things interesting. And we've already learned a lot in the process of training him and having him. This is the first dog we've ever had. Now, when we first brought him home, he was very excited. He didn't quite realize it was home yet. He was running all over creation. One day, he dug under our fence, which we had built tall, so he went under, naturally, but was waiting for me on the other side when I got home. And then he seemed to sort of click in his head that this was home. This was his place. We were his people. He was safe. And we began to train him. And we've learned that after one class of dog training, he's more obedient than the cats we've had for years. But we've learned that after having established this relationship, after he realized he was our dog, we were his people, this was his home, we were able to enact discipline, slowly but surely. He will listen to us when we tell him to sit. A good 50% of the time we're working on. But if some random stranger on the street were to tell him to sit, it wouldn't work. It's because of the relationship that we have with him that discipline can work and make sense. Now, we're in the middle of Lent, so we've been talking a lot about discipline. And this is a good thing that we have done so. But today, we hear in our reading from Romans part of the context within which God's discipline takes place. Part of why God's discipline is part of the good news of God in Jesus Christ. Discipline always has a context. If you're on the run from the law and the police catch you, you will be disciplined. And it's inherently adversarial. If a parent sees that his or her child is about to touch the hot stove, they too will be disciplined. But it's an entirely different thing. It's discipline for their good and for their benefit. So as we come to the second Sunday in Lent, we've already had some time to reflect on our sinfulness, our inadequacy, all of the difficulties that we have. And today we're reminded of the absolute security that we have in our relationship with God. We submit to God's discipline not because we are attempting to be good enough, for we know that this is impossible. But we submit to God's discipline precisely because God is the God who is for us. We submit to God's discipline because of the relationship we have with Him. He is our God. We are His people. We know that this relationship will not be torn asunder. God's discipline does not call us to fear for our relationship with Him. It calls us to live deeper into that relationship. So this morning, as we consider our Lord's call to take up our cross and follow Him, we consider this within the context of what God has revealed to us, what God has done for us, and indeed who God is, the God who is for us. And as we reflect on God being for us, this rich, deep theological phrase, we are reminded that we are more than conquerors against every difficulty the world has to offer. And we are certain that nothing in creation, nothing we can imagine, nothing we can't imagine, can possibly separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Within this context, the discipline of God is good news indeed. For absolutely secure in our relationship with Him, we are freed to accept His discipline and to grow into His likeness. Our Lord tells us if we were to follow Him, we must deny ourselves, take up our crosses, and follow. Now, of course, we are not called to bear a physical cross, but we all have something in our life difficulties, in the life we have been called to lead. Some of us have relationships that are difficult. Some have difficult work situations. Some have extended family with whom the relationships have been strained for years. We all have difficulties that God calls us to take on for our benefit and for His great glory. This is part of that different way the kingdom of heaven works from the kingdom of this world. In following our Lord, we find perfect freedom. In giving up our lives, we are saved. In trying to grasp onto our own lives and our control over it, we lose our lives. God calls us to follow Him with absolute abandon, to take up whatever difficulties come our way, to live into whatever difficult situations we are called to live for the purpose of proclaiming His glory. We must deny ourselves, put ourselves to the side, set aside our agenda and take on the agenda of the kingdom of heaven. We must continually deny ourselves to follow our Lord if we expect to have any life that is worth living. But this disciplined life is not a frightening thing. God is no abusive father. It is discipline for our own good. For God is the God who is for us. Paul says, "What then shall we say to this?" Now, in this phrase, "what shall we say to this," is referring to the entirety of Romans chapters 5 through 8. And since I couldn't find a catered lunch to come in so I could preach on the entirety of Romans 5 through 8, the summary is that Paul is making this long, gorgeous theological argument on how God has brought us to peace with Him. He tells us that we are at peace with God through the work of Jesus Christ our Lord. We were found to be inadequate, the law was inadequate to save, and our Lord Jesus Christ has stepped in to make everything right. What we are hearing in the epistle is the climax to this long 3-chapter argument on how great God's love is for us and how great God has done in bringing us back to Himself. God is the God who is for us. Karl Barth, the great 20th century theologian, went on at great length about this term, God for us. By God's action, by His work, His love and the tiny spark of our love for Him have met and become one. And God has become the God who is for us. When God disciplines, we must always remember that He is for us. In an even greater way than a loving parent is for his or her child when enacting discipline for the child's benefit. God is the God who is for us. When we submit to His discipline, when we hear the accusation that we have not done good enough, that we must improve our lives, we must remember that God is not against us. God is the God who is for us. It is within this context that He calls us to live lives worthy of the calling that we have. God has made us justified. In the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, in His death, resurrection, and ascension, we are reunited with God. This is the unspeakable truth about who we are. We have, in one sense, attained the unattainable, a relationship with God. And it is our job to spend the rest of our lives here on earth trying to live up to the truth of what God has said about us in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, we have been justified, brought into oneness with God, and our lives ought to increasingly reflect this truth. So we take up our cross not in fear of God, not in hope of earning our own way or getting bonus points in the kingdom of heaven, but we take up our cross because it is the right response for children responding to a loving God who is for us. In all things, we are more than conquerors. Paul, of course, writes not in a small town in East Texas, but during the great persecution of the early church. When blood is being shed at great levels, when it is criminal to follow Christ, when the cost of discipleship is great. He writes in all these things, tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. This goes back to the way the kingdom of heaven works differently than the kingdom of this age. It is only in the economy of God that by walking to the fire and dying a martyr's death, you are a conqueror. It is only in the economy of God that by suffering persecution, you are refined and made into a greater picture of His likeness. It is only in the way that God does things that when we suffer, we conquer. We are more than conquerors over everything that this world has to throw against us. All of life's difficulties, all of our present troubles, don't even calculate into the mix when compared to the greatness of the love of God in Jesus Christ. The present difficulties are nothing compared to the glory of God. In all things, we are more than conquerors. And we are certain about what God has done for us in Christ. We are sure that nothing, this great list at the end of the text, nothing on earth, nothing in heaven, nothing created, nothing uncreated, nothing you can imagine, nothing you can fail to imagine, can possibly separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. If we want to think about discipline, this is the context within which we reflect upon it. God disciplines us as a loving Father. God disciplines us because He is for us and wants to form us in His image. This day, whatever difficulties beset you, whatever life is throwing your way, whatever sins have grasped onto you for far too long, remember that God is for you. He died for you. He has brought you to Himself. God, by His grace, makes you a conqueror over everything in this world. And nothing will separate us from His love. No difficulty is so great as to bring into question the security of our relationship with Him. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord, to whom be glory from generation to generation. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let us stand and join with